If you're just joining us, it is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In a programming note here, the public hearings of the House impeachment inquiry into President Trump continue today, and live coverage on Wisconsin Public Radio continues as well. Our NPR News and Classical Music Network is broadcasting the hearings. That's live coverage of the public impeachment inquiry hearings on the NPR News and Classical Music Network and online at WPR.org. Right now, though, we're talking about the risks of sleep deprivation. A recent study published in the Journal of Community Health looked at trend lines in lack of sleep for different occupations. And the researchers found last year the highest levels of sleep deprivation were in the categories of police and military, healthcare support occupations, transportation, and production occupations. So this is data from the National Health Interview Survey. Do you work in law enforcement? Perhaps you're a firefighter or ER nurse. Do you feel sleep deprived due to your profession? We're at 800-642-1234. Josh Miller is an officer with the Eau Claire Police Department. He served with the department for nearly 10 years. Officer Miller, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate.
So as you look at your department, do you agree with what you see in this study? Are first responders, law enforcement workers, sleep deprived?
Yeah, I believe that study said that we were about 50% as far as people who are sleep deprived. I think they define that as about averaging less than 7 hours of sleep per night. And yeah, that sounds about right. Just thinking back to especially my years on patrol when I was working the streets, you combine kind of the strange hours that we had to work, you know, being a 24/7 job that patrol is, and combine that then with the kind of the additional job duties, not just the patrol obligations, but other things that we have to do that can really bite into that time when you should be sleeping or would normally be sleeping. And yeah, nothing too surprising about what I saw in that study.
So you're on patrol, and then you also have back office duties, I'm sure paperwork as well to fill out. Take us back to the days when you were on patrol. How often did your schedules change? How predictable was your life?
Yeah, so in our particular department, the way that we do it is we have a shift for the entire year. We would bid on that by seniority at the beginning of the year. So right around October, we start planning for January. So in October, we would do what we call a shift draw, where we would start with our most senior officer, and they would pick the shift in the area that they want to work. Typically, that would then be the day shift. The senior officer would senior officers would take a day shift, more of a more normalized routine, and then that would just kind of filter down to our less senior officers, and they would be kind of stuck with those kind of in-between shifts a lot of times, the midnight shift or the evening shift, like the 4:30 p.m. to 3 a.m. shift. So you're kind of stuck on that shift then for a year. So we do have the benefit of...
For a year, right.
And then we would redraw the following year. So we do have the benefit of at least being able to sort of acclimate to that shift if we're not used to working it for a while.
Do people want to work an overnight shift? Do you find volunteers for that?
So, yeah, that is completely officer dependent. We have officers that have been on the midnight shift the entire time that they've been here. I think our most senior officer on MIDS now has been there for about 9 years and has never worked a different shift. He finds that just is the kind of work that he likes. It works well with his particular lifestyle and what he does at home, so he will stay on there. Other people, you know, can't wait to get off of that shift, and they can't wait to get to more normalized routine. So it's very dependent on the officer.
When was the last time you felt sleep deprived due to your job?
Yeah, so even when you say you move up to like a detective spot, which is a typical Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., you're never really entirely off the clock. In the case of like a major event where they need a detective to come in, we could be called at any time. We're not obligated to come in, but most guys want to come in. They want to, you know, do the job that they were hired for. So, you know, we could get a call. We come home at 4 p.m. after, you know, doing our detective shift for the day. We're home for 3 hours. All of a sudden, we have a major event. You know, we're just finishing up supper, maybe getting ready for bed, and we go to come deal with a problem, and we could be there literally all night. So it's just because you're in this more normal schedule, you're by no means shielded from these long kind of strange hours.
Are you concerned about officers falling asleep behind the wheel? Is that type of concern a reality we should be talking about?
I think anytime someone's sleep deprived is something that you want to be aware of. And, you know, especially when you look at the jobs that are named in this study, you've got, you know, protection services, police, military, and then, you know, healthcare workers. So obviously you prefer that your healthcare provider is not sleep deprived. But I guess I will say this, in the times that I was working patrol or when I came in for detective work, I don't ever recall necessarily when I'm on a call actually doing something, talking to someone, dealing with a situation, I didn't feel necessarily that sleep deprived at that time. It's in the downtime later on when everything kind of calms down and you sit down in your car and try to catch your breath. It's like, wow, I've been here a long time and I haven't slept in a while. That's when it tends to kind of catch up with you a little bit. But I mean, obviously you prefer that people in these line of businesses not sleep deprived, but the nature of the job, I think there's no way to avoid it, but we just have to look at how we can minimize it and how we can help officers get through it.
We're talking with Eau Claire Police Department Public Information Officer Josh Miller about the impact of sleep deprivation and how to help officers get rest. You can join in. Do you work at a job where you feel sleep deprived? What is your profession? How many hours a week do you work? How much sleep do you get on average? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So Harvard researchers back in 2011 looked at this. They looked into the life of police officers and found that sleep-deprived officers had a lot of risk involved. And one of the things they found, 1 in 3 had sleep apnea. And I'm wondering, is the stress and demands of the job affecting physical and mental health?
Yeah, so I guess that's kind of a chicken and egg question. Are officers having sleep problems because of the stress and the trauma of the job, or I'm trying to put this together, but
sure.
are they having sleep problems because of the job, or is the job then causing those sleep problems? I think both of the problems kind of compound each other. You know, if you're working a midnight shift or a late shift, it can be difficult to sleep during the day, and all the trauma and issues that we deal with at work, again, then make that also difficult to deal with. So you really have two kind of real forces pulling at you, and that you're working these odd hours, and when you're off, you're still mentally dealing with all the issues that you've dealt with at work.
How big of an issue is physical fitness in your job, and how do you see that in officers?
Yeah, obviously we put a stress on physical fitness. It's become kind of a focus in our department, not necessarily the physical fitness, although that's a component of it. Our department in particular has been really great about pushing the wellness factor for officers, and that's complete wellness, mental, emotional, and physical health. So, you know, although being physically fit and being in shape can certainly help you, you know, get through those times, there's a whole another litany of emotional and psychological factors that you have to be aware of. You know, the most physical fit person can get burned out seeing traumatic incidents day after day after day, and taking that home with you can just is not the healthy way to deal with it, certainly.
When there is a very traumatic incident that your officers have responded to, what happens after that incident? You know, barring that an officer hasn't gone on administrative leave or something like that. But what is the protocol after a trauma?
Sure. So, you know, I can think about a time in particular when I was a little bit of a younger officer. We had an officer involved shooting while I was on patrol, and it happened fairly early in my shift that night. I was working, I think, 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. at that time. And just because of the nature of it, we had so many officers involved, we had to call in a bunch of extra officers to come in and start taking the normal day-to-day calls in our city. And it just so happened that because so many people came in to help, I got released at 11 p.m. at the end of my normal shift. Well, after dealing with this massive incident, I go home at 11 p.m. and I'm by no means am I ready to go to sleep. Am I able just to lay my head down on my pillow and get ready to get up with my kids the next morning? I mean, I'm up thinking about what happened. This is the first officer-involved shooting that I'd ever seen or been involved in. So you can't just, as much as we tell our officers, you have to be able to leave work at work and come home and be your home person, I guess, it's nearly impossible. It's just a matter of how we cope with it. How do we deal with it? But we have resources available anytime that we have kind of a critical incident, and it doesn't have to be an officer-involved shooting. It can be a particularly bad maybe a fire. Maybe there's a really bad domestic assault, a sexual assault that we have to deal with. We will call in professionals to have what we call a critical incident stress debrief. And everyone's invited. Even if you're working, you can come in and be a part of it. Sit down, talk about it. You can be as involved as you want. But it's a great outlet for us to kind of get everything out there and talk about it, rather than, you know, bringing it home. It's a safe place for us to vent our feelings about it, to talk about how we're dealing with it, and then what to expect in the future as we go on. So,
do you find officers come to the table for that?
Again, that's really dependent on the particular officer. But for the most part, yes, most officers do enjoy going to those things. Like I said, even if you don't say anything and you don't talk about what you're going through, I think it's so helpful to hear from other people, you know, what they're going through, what they experienced during this, to say, okay, yeah, that's exactly what I was going through, and that is normal. So it's, again, you're never going to be able to completely leave it at work, but there's some great tools out there to sort of help you distance yourself.
We're talking about the occupational hazards of sleep deprivation with Eau Claire Police Department Officer Josh Miller as our guide. Do you supervise emergency responders? How do you ensure your staff gets enough sleep? How much of a priority is this issue? Do you work at a job where you feel sleep deprived? What is your job? How many hours a week do you work? And what keeps you awake at night? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a moment with Officer Josh Miller here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about a new study that flags emergency responders and members of the military as groups who could be more sleep-deprived than other occupations. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. So according to the study, it's healthcare workers and law enforcement who sleep less than 7 hours a night. And this analysis used self-reporting of 150,000 adults. Do you work in law enforcement? What are your hours like? Do you feel overworked and, as a result, sleep deprived? What do you wish could change? Are you a physician? Are you sleep deprived, or do you work with sleep deprived patients? What does that affect? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. The public information officer for the Eau Claire Police Department, Josh Miller, stays with us, and he's joining us from our WPR studios in Eau Claire this morning. Officer, right now, your department in Eau Claire is experiencing a shortage of staff. You have 4 officer openings. How is that affecting your current officers?
Yeah, so 4 may not seem like a huge number, but it ends up it ends up being more than that, and I'll kind of explain. We have a set number of officers that, by contract, have to be on duty in the city. So we have a minimum number per shift, depending on the time of day. So you take 4 of those officers away that we don't have hired. Then you factor in things like vacations and trainings and injuries if somebody gets hurt or if they're on administrative leave or something like that. If we can't meet those minimum shift requirements, say we're going to be one short coming up on the midnight shift, we then have to hold one of our officers from the shift prior onto that shift for half of it, and then they'll have to call in an officer from the shift before to cover the other half of that shift. So if you're kind of a junior officer, say like on the afternoon shift, where you can 10:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. and the midnight shift is going to be short, you may be getting held an additional 5 hours. So then you're working, we work 10 and a half hour shifts here, you're working 15 and a half hours, then leaving less time for you to, you know, get the kids on the bus, get, you know, supper made and get some sleep. So that small number of officers that we're missing and can really snowball pretty quickly to officers being held over and having to work additional time and thus leaving less time to sleep.
So if you've had to layer into a 15 and a half hour shift, do you expect that officer to be up and at him the next day? I mean, how can you expect that?
Right. So if we are held over on a shift like that by contract, we then have to have at least 6 hours off. And again, that's not a whole lot of time, but it's certainly better than having to do like a really quick turnaround of only 3 hours and then come back for a shift. So most people will tell you once you're out on patrol, yes, 15 hours is a long shift, but it's certainly manageable.
How difficult is it right now in the effort of recruitment? Can you recruit officers to your line of work?
Yeah, it's an ongoing challenge, obviously, and we're not alone in Eau Claire in dealing with this. It's nationwide that we're looking for candidates, and I know we're not the only department that has said, even though we're facing, you know, a smaller number of applicants, we're not going to change our hiring qualifications or who we look for. We absolutely have to have the right person. So that ultimately does put more stress on our department, that we're not going to kind of lower our standards simply because we have less applicants. And you know, it does trickle down and it does create more of a stress on our patrol division. But again, we think we're better serving our community by keeping our standards high and kind of sort of powering through, I guess you could say, until we find the right people to fill those spots.
How long might a vacancy, or four vacancies for that matter, be open?
It'll be ongoing. And even once we fill those spots, we'll probably have a couple more open due to retirement. And the process is very, very long. From the time that we meet someone, when they turn in their application, we could look at up to 9 months to a full year before they get hired, for the interviews that they have to go through, the background process, and then the recruit school that they have to go to. I think over 700 hours of training. Then we put them through another, I think, 12 weeks of on the road training with the training officers. So again, it's a super long process, and it's a grind on the other officers, but we think that ultimately it's worth it, just so we get the right people where they need to be.
Talking with Eau Claire Police Department Public Information Officer Josh Miller. He's with us as we look at the impact of sleep deprivation and really a domino effect on so many other things in the department. Do you work at a job where you feel sleep deprived? What is your profession? How many hours a week do you work? Join in 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Officer Miller, what protocols are in place? You mentioned, you know, at least 6 hours between shifts. That doesn't take into account that you have to drive home or get home and sleep and perhaps try to fall asleep. So by the time you're looking at those 6 hours between a shift, there's not much downtime there for real productive sleep.
No, there really isn't. And again, I'm not sure that there's a solution to that necessarily. What we do try to talk to our new officers about is how you deal with that. You know, making sure that your typical sleep hygiene, good habits, you know, not staying away from alcohol before you try to sleep, staying away from caffeine, you know, 4 to 6 hours before you sleep. And then, you know, you also think about, we're not just talking about patrol shifts that people have to come into. If you're subpoenaed for court, if you have to go for court on something, you know, you may work until 8 a.m., finish up your midnight shift, and have to be back in court at 11 o'clock. And, you know, you've got to make sure that you're making those hours count, because we need to be focused and ready to go for court. I mean, it could be court, it could be training, all sorts of things that we can come in for, not necessarily just for patrol. So it's important that I think our training officers are talking to our younger new officers about what they're doing in their spare time, how you get good sleep. I know most everyone that works a midnight shift is going to invest in, you know, blackout curtains to make sure that the sun's not getting in, that their family knows that, hey, mom or dad is going to be sleeping late today. They had a late night. So it's that, in that open communication with your family, so they know that, hey, he may be here, but he's not available for the family right now.
Let's go to Rich now, joining us from Dallas, Wisconsin. Hi, Rich.
Good morning.
Morning.
I just wanted to comment on this. I was a volunteer firefighter, retired a couple years ago. I spent 23 years in the service. We moved to northern Wisconsin. I lived in Illinois at the time. But, you know, I drive truck for a living, and what the government regulates a 14-hour shift, and then there was weekly trainings that we attended to, and there was obviously there's lots of state requirements as far as training and certifications and things along those lines, schooling. There's you know, 80% of the United States firefighters in the country are all volunteers, so they have a full-time job, they have family requirements, they have expectations, requirements from the department that they might want, the personal goals that they have to want to achieve.
So they're really layering on the volunteer firefighter on top of so many other duties. And Rich, it sounds like it really stretched you.
We raised four kids during the time. I should say my wife raised four kids. I was there, but not very active. I hate to say that, but she was very supportive. The family was very supportive. Our daughter is a firefighter, EMT. She does dispatch for the city she lives in now. So,
well, Rich,
a lot of requirements. There's a lot of personal commitment that goes along with that, and sleep deprivation. I mean, I can think of many times that I went to work with 2 to 3 hours sleep.
And we're short on time here, Officer Miller. Is there any suggestions you can give to people out there, emergency responders in particular, as you look at this issue?
Sure. I would definitely say, make sure you're reaching out to your resources. Your family is your best resource. You need to be open and upfront with them about, maybe why you're not sleeping well or, what the requirements of the job are. Make sure that they know every step of the way what's going on. And then I would just stress to departments and administrators in general to take a look at your schedules to make sure that the schedule that you're people are working are to the best benefit for them. There's a lot of flexibility that the departments can apply in, the number of shifts and the length of shift and all that. So take a look at that and make sure you're doing what's best for your people.
Officer Miller, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kate. I appreciate it.
Josh Miller is an officer with the Eau Claire Police Department. We've been talking about the impact of sleep deprivation on first responders. He joined us from our Eau Claire studios. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.